Hey there, travelers. My name is Kai. Welcome to Misery Likes Company. And it is 11 at night, and it is still raining in Las Vegas. This has been a hell of a day. It's been a sleepy day for a lot of people. It's rare we get these sorts of days. It rained from last night into tonight, which, yeah, it's extraordinarily rare for it to happen here. And it has been pleasant, to say the least. It's shaved 20 degrees right off our temperature. We're down in the 50s. Forgive me. Like I said, it's been a sleepy day. A lot of laying around. Smoked a bowl a couple hours ago. Not even a couple hours ago. Maybe an hour and a half ago. Other than that, I've just been playing video games for most of the day, most of the evening. Not the day, but the evening, night. I tried playing Payday 2. I like the idea of Payday 2, but it just doesn't do it for me. There's just no subtlety to that game whatsoever. Yes, it has stealth, but let me just qualify everything I'm about to say. I'm a Hitman player. I love the Hitman franchise. I love being able to take my time and analyze the situation and come at it from left field sometimes. And it just, you know, big sandbox world. I can never say enough good stuff about Hitman. Yes, some of the coding is janky. I mean, IO is a small studio, but I like the social stealth aspect of it. I like the subtlety of the game. The fact that if shit goes horribly wrong and you're being shot at, you have already failed. Restart the level and start over again. The highest accolade in a Hitman run is a SASO run, S-A-S-O, Silent Assassin, suit only. You never had to blend in. You just hid. You just stealthed your whole way in, and no evidence was found. No bodies were found. No extraneous kills. No, you know, surveillance footage of you. Just completely silent. I love Hitman. And you know, Payday has a stealth aspect to it, but it's not really that great of a stealth aspect, to be perfectly honest. From what I understand, it was a multiplayer game that they put a solo mode into after people asked for it, and it's not really designed. The AI bots aren't designed. The gameplay itself isn't designed for solo play. And beyond that, I was doing a bank level, and I mean, it's one of the first handful of levels. And I mean, you got to drill the safe. And I mean, the timer, it's like 4 minutes while you're just fending off fucking either cops if it's gone wrong or trying to get people to stay on the ground and corral them. And then there's like 2.5-3 more minutes where you have to drill something beyond that. And then you've got to spend time lockpicking the safes. Literally most of that game, and I looked online, people, it's actually a meme. Most of the game is spent waiting for the drill. That's what most of the game is. I think I breached the vault. I breached the inner gate. And I started lockpicking the name even escapes me. I'm sort of burned out between the weed and the video games. I'm a little fuzzy right now. The safety deposit boxes. There we go. Things are shifting into gear. I started lockpicking this first safety deposit box, and the progress, the timer just comes up, and I just said, fuck it. I just alt F4'd the game and just uninstalled it. I was just done. I'm like, oh, fuck this game. I tried it. I legitimately tried it. I played a bunch of levels. I watched starter videos. I watched some tutorials. I really gave it, you know, the old college try, and I just couldn't do it. I was like, this game is not for me. Some people, I like I said, I like the idea of it. I enjoy Oh my God. Oh, man. And I'm still hungry. I'm going to have to make another, make food here shortly. I enjoy watching people play it. There's games that actually I like the idea of, but I hate playing them. XCOM is one of those games. I love XCOM. I love the idea of XCOM. I like watching people play XCOM. Christopher Odd does a seasons of XCOM and, you know, community-driven character creation. And, I mean, I love watching him play it. And I have installed XCOM, Jesus, and XCOM 2, you know, Enemy Within and War of the Chosen. Like, I have tried so many times. And it just, you know, you have like that 98%, like if you've never played XCOM, you know, you're not going to really understand here, but bear with me. You have this like 98% shot chance and it just fails. Statistically speaking, 2% occurs. I mean, you know, but most gamers look at a 98% shot chance and expect to hit it. XCOM, on the other hand, look, I personally think it fudges the numbers. I think the game cheats. And I've never looked into it. There are games that cheat. And, you know, I think it's one of those. God, I love the idea of XCOM. I love the, you know, even the narrative that the commander is just this super, basically a supercomputer of a human who can see, he can envision the, you know, the battlefield from, you know, three dimensions and basically pause time. And then you can command your troops to move and, oh, it's... You know, it's. I love the game. I just hate playing it. So as long as someone else plays it, I love watching it. I really do. I enjoy the hell out of watching it. I always watch Christopher Odd play his seasons, and you know, it just pisses me off though to play the game. I grew up on fast-paced games. I grew up on, you know, fucking Doom and Wolfenstein and Unreal Tournament, and you know. I don't mind that, but these days, my ideal, my perfect game is a Hitman game. It just, almost a puzzle game. I mean, that's what Hitman games are. They're almost a puzzle game. They're, you know, if you go in blind into the level with basic intelligence for, you know, okay, but I mean, you go into the level and you just have to figure it out. And it's not just one way. And yeah, you can turn all sorts of stuff on, mission stories and that sort of thing that will walk you through various things that will get you to your target and get the job done. But those are only a handful of ways that it can be done that they'll walk you through. Ultimately, there's so many ways to accomplish the task. I mean, there's so many ways. It's their slogan, their tagline is "Make the world your weapon," and it's true to a large extent. I mean, it's insane the amount of ways you can assassinate a target in Hitman, and it just you can just come at it your own way. And I mean, even if you do it, you know, you cheese it, and you just force the NPC behavior, manipulate the AI. Who cares? That's a legitimate way of playing it as well. You know, and oh my God, the levels are gorgeous. The levels are a pleasant place to be. To just walk around and enjoy. And then, you know, of course, assassinating high-powered, corrupt targets that need hitting. I, you know, love it. I played after I uninstalled Payday. I needed something to rinse my palate from that. Just ugh, God, I'm sorry. If you enjoy Payday, God bless, enjoy it. But for me, that was a terrible game. It just is a terrible game. I played Sniper Elite 4. Just shot some Nazis, dude. If you are a sniper in video games, if you like to snipe in video games, holy fuck, the Sniper Elite series is where it's at. And I mean, if you want hardcore sniper gameplay, they do realistic ballistics modeling and they can take the training wheels off for you. It gets intense. I don't play on those levels. I play on hard, you know, make the enemy just deadly enough, but not model insane ballistics. Like, I still have some of the rails, the bumpers on the lane, as it were, because I don't want to have to calculate the wind gauge and, you know, bullet fall and stuff like that. So a little marker on my crosshairs for me. But man, sneaking around some of the Greek Isles and, you know, sneaking around Italy and, you know, just as a highly capable special forces sniper in World War II and just shooting fucking Nazis. Dude, who cares? They're fucking Nazis. It is a little bothersome, though, that some of the collectibles and the info you can get on them, like there's intel on the targets and you can see it in your binoculars and, you know, afraid he'll never get home and that sort of thing. And like some of the collectibles are letters home and last letters. And I made a policy after I read a couple of them. I was like, I'm never reading those again. It humanized them. I don't fucking want to humanize Nazis. Look, I enjoy shooting Nazis. That's a classic pastime. And so, yeah, it's Sniper Elite. It's subtle. You can take your time. You can work your way through it. You know, you can approach it however you want to approach it. You don't have to take on this target and then that target. And, you know, I enjoy games that allow me, that don't restrict me in my choice. And that's why I've got a standing date with a buddy. He wants, you know, he doesn't even think he's going to play, I don't think. He just wants to watch Foyer for Cyberpunk 2077. Dude, they better fucking deliver. They, you know, I've got the utmost confidence in CDPR. So I'm looking forward to Cyberpunk and seeing if I can, you know, dialogue and hack my way through that game. Because they're saying that it's going to be, you know, there's going to be pacifist resolutions that you can complete the game without, you know, really going into too much combat, which would be interesting. I'll break out the keyboard and mouse, no problem. You know, let's shoot some fuckers. But it would be interesting if I can stealth and hack and dialogue my way through that game. That would be fun. That would be a unique experience that not many games will give you these days. And so I like a video game that has a slow approach. I enjoyed Metal Gear Solid 5. My biggest complaint is the intro. Oh my god! What, I just had to upgrade my system, and my game saves did not carry over. For Metal Gear Solid 5. And I don't know. The icon's still sitting on my desktop staring at me, and I don't know if I'm going to try it. Dude, the intro for that game, knowing the story resolution, the intro for that game is so fucking obnoxious. It takes so long to get that game going and then, you know, get gear. And then you got to grind for the resources. And, but the gameplay, like the actual loop, the actual mechanics are fucking solid. Dude, I love that game. Game's great. It's just when Kojima is Kojima, I dread the story missions in Metal Gear Solid 5. I would just prefer to take the outpost and do the, you know, the basic gameplay loop. Every time there's a story mission and some douchebag on fire, the kid floating around in the straitjacket, every fucking time that shit pops up, I'm just rolling my eyes and gritting my teeth and, let's just get it over with so I can go back to enjoying the gameplay that I know I enjoy. Honestly, but you know, when I'm allowed to not be chased around a fucking restricted area by some dude on fire who's basically immortal, and I can, you know, be the badass stealth, you know, secret agent that you kind of are. I mean, spoilers, you're not Snake. You're a dude who's been hypnotized to believe it's as stupid as fuck. Honestly, Kojima should not be allowed. He should be making movies. He should not be allowed to make video games. That's, I said it. Hideo Kojima should not make video games. He should make movies. He would make amazing movies. He would make amazing fucking movies. Everybody who's ever played one of his video games knows that dude wants to make movies. Just let him make movies. And from what I understand, he's apparently going to get into that now. Because from what I understand, I watch Jim Sterling, but that's not the only place I'm getting that opinion. Death Stranding, I've watched the fucking Let's Plays, and, you know, that cut out the gameplay from Death Stranding and just stitch it together as a movie, and it's fucking astounding. It's amazing, but the gameplay sucks. That is Hideo Kojima's legacy, I think. He just ruins gameplay. He obsesses about shit that no gamer gives a shit about. No one cares about boot degradation systems. Oh, fuck off, Hideo. Come on. Just stop. Go make movies and stop making video games, because your video games suck ass. There, I said it. You know, he just persnickety, overly concerned with inconsequential details. Yeah, I think persnickety is the one I want to go with. He's just persnickety. Before that, I raved about it a little bit on the podcast before, but I don't think I talked about it when I wrapped it up. The Outer Worlds, Oblivion being Oblivion. I gotta tell you, it amazingly pretty, solid gameplay, not really any bugs to speak of. I mean, there's a couple here and there, but I mean, they delivered a solid product, and I think that's probably a lot of that credit goes to Microsoft, probably, that they had the resources of Microsoft at their disposal. But lovely game, a lovely game. It let itself down in the end game, not in the end game, but at the end of the game. And if you're not a gamer and you're listening to that, end game is stuff that happens after the game. The actual ending was, I don't know, it felt rushed. It felt empty. It felt, it felt half-assed. Which I suppose is fucking Oblivion. I swear to God. I don't know if that's, did Microsoft push them to get it out? I don't know. Either way, everything short of the very last level felt amazing. I really enjoyed the game. I really enjoyed it. I truly did. The characters, the dialogue, the smarminess of some of them, the just piercing satirical take on corporate culture and what would happen if you let corporations run shit. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed their take. But that final level was just not good. It really wasn't good. It was a bad ending. And that kind of bothered me. I want to go back. I've still got it installed. I want to go back and play it through. I tried to, before I had to upgrade my system. I've still got my game saves for that. I started a melee-focused character. And I don't know if that game plays well as a melee-focused. I've looked online. People swear, oh, yeah, it's possible. It's doable. Yeah, but is it enjoyable? Is it practical? I don't think it is. I honestly don't think it is. I'll give it a shot. I've got a melee build going, and it just doesn't feel right. It's difficult to successfully sneak up on most groups of enemies, and once you engage one enemy with melee, you're just not tanky enough to take the damage from the rest of them on, higher difficulties. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Cyberpunk. It better fucking deliver. But until then, I've got Hitman. The core gameplay of Hitman is just repetition. Unfortunately, they've reached the end. This is the final patch has been released. There aren't any more levels coming. They're going to throw some, you know, unlock some old content, put it up, and, you know, evergreen content sort of stuff. But the foundational gameplay for Hitman is a gameplay loop. Like, you don't play the level once. You play the level dozens and dozens of times because there's dozens and dozens and dozens. There's so many ways. There's so many routes. There's so many paths. There's so many ways to manipulate, you know, the behavior of AIs. There's so many. Honestly, it's the point of a Hitman level is to play it tons of times to the point where you have it fairly well memorized, that you really can instinctually know where stuff is. That is the point of a Hitman level, and I enjoy that. It forces you to learn the level, and I mean, they're so vast and so detailed that when you go in initially, it is overwhelming. The first time you play a level, it's just a clusterfuck. But now, I mean, you know, the Hitman 2016 Season 1, it's a very odd way of referring to things, but Hitman 2016 is Hitman rebooted, Hitman 1, and it was sort of a season sort of thing. They did levels that were released across a season, and then Hitman 2, which is Hitman 2018, they just released them as a batch. And there's Hitman, the original, which was, oh, fuck, I don't even remember, 97, Codename 47, you know, Blood Money, Absolution. I'm missing some somewhere in there. There's been a bunch of Hitman games. It's been a long road. But the newest ones, the ones that run on the Glacier engine, are Hitman 2016 and Hitman 2, which is Hitman, which is 2016 in parentheses, and Hitman 2, which is 2018 in parentheses. And it just, you know, the levels are so fucking detailed. It's amazing. They're just, they feel lived in. There's not many levels that have ever been designed for video games. The levels truly feel lived in, that they feel like a real world. They're always, you know, it's like, oh, shitty papers, you know, shitty paper texture on desk, and it just gets repeated and repeated. But in Hitman, things feel unique. Now, granted, that comes at a file size cost. I think with Hitman 1 Legacy Pack and Hitman 2, I think we're up to like 165 gigs or something like that. I mean, it is not small. The game is big. It's texture intensive. But I will make as much space as required for Hitman forever. I don't care. I love the game. I guess that's my video game. My video game ramble for today. I almost feel, you know, I've had so much love, so much passion for these sorts of things, and then to end on this sort of note, but I did want to mention it because it is so insane. The gentleman who testified yesterday in the appeal. See, I'm yawning just fucking thinking about it. The gentleman who testified yesterday in the impeachment hearing is Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. The Army has placed his family and himself under specialized security. They've given them extra security because they're afraid that Trump supporters may do something stupid, since this moron in chief and then Fox News are accusing him of espionage and all sorts of nonsense. So now his life is in danger. The president of the United States, the commander in chief of the armed services, is putting an active duty military officer's life in danger due to his open criticism of him, and knowing that his cult of personality may actually engage. They may send him pipe bombs. They may blow. They may try an attempt on his life or his family's lives. It's insane. It's, I don't even know what to do with that. What fucking timeline have we found ourselves in that military officers are having to be protected from the commander in chief's rabid political supporters? I don't know what to do with that. You know, oh, and on a high note, we'll end on a high note. Scott Warren was a man who was charged with he was providing food, water, and aid to anybody who crossed the Sonoran Desert. So those would be migrants, quote unquote, illegal immigrants. He just, as a human being, he didn't drive them anywhere. He didn't help. Look, all he did was, they are humans. They deserve food, water, and medical aid. This is, in a theater of war, you're required to provide these things for your enemy. Okay? He did the very basic thing that any human being should be required to do. He helped his fellow man and woman. When I say man, I mean mankind, you know, humans. He helped his fellow humans. He was charged with multiple, like, felonies. He, you know, I'm not even going to bother with the charges. He was acquitted, finally. He was acquitted on all charges because, yeah, I mean, because there weren't sociopaths on the fucking jury. Like, that shit made it to trial. Are you kidding me? Talk about the perfect case for jury nullification. Fuck off. He did what? He gave them food, water, and medical aid. Okay. Did he give them a ride anywhere? No. So he just made sure they didn't die? Wow. Yes. Such a crime. Not guilty. Why are we wasting taxpayer money on this? You know, God bless. Good on him. I'm glad he was acquitted, but, you know, it's sad that I'm shocked he was. So, with that being said, I'm going to go make some more food and then maybe smoke another bowl, because I haven't, you know, I haven't been getting high recently. I've been cutting back fairly decent, a lot. I've been cutting back a lot because my neuropathy has been pretty bad, and weed tends to make it worse, or at least makes me notice it more. So, I'm going to make some fried potatoes, some pan-fried potatoes, because I have gone off keto. Keto and a ketogenic diet and a glycemic diet affect my neuropathy differently, and I have no reason, I have no idea why. I don't fucking know. But either way, I was craving fried potatoes, and that's what got me back, was pan-fried potatoes. So I'm going to go make some more pan-fried potatoes, a big fucking plate of them, and smoke a big fat bowl and pass the fuck out. So as always, I hope you're as well as you can be. My name's Kai, and this has been Misery Likes Company.